Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
And I just felt in my heart that this was going to be something that was bigger than anything that we had gone through. And it was. We were together for 8 years. One day I came home and I was like, I had this turn on the street where I was like, I can either make a left or a right. And I ended up making a right. And when I went past the grocery store parking lot, there they were. And he was getting in her car. And he took off with her to another state.
You know what they say. Nothing good starts in a getaway car. Welcome to season 6, episode 3 of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And if this is your first time listening or your thousandth time listening, it's nice to have you back. Every week we get to the bottom of a different messy breakup story, and every story comes to me via submission. If you head to the episode description, you'll see a submission form where you can submit a story tip. Now, some people like to just send me TikToks of things they've seen and they want to know more about. Sometimes people send me their own breakup stories if you think you got something juicy. And my favorite types of submissions, which is the kind of submission we have this week, it's from somebody who has been following somebody for a while. Maybe they know them from like high school or college and they noticed they were soft launching their breakup and they wanted somebody to ask them, because like obviously they're not going to do that. That'd be weird. Why not just ask a stranger on the internet to do it for you? That's less weird, right? If you've got a submission for the podcast, again, head to the episode description. You'll find the submission form link there. And if you want to jump to a certain part of the interview, you can always find timestamps in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. And this week we've got a submission where somebody says their boyfriend took off with another woman after 8 years together. Ooh. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence shelter throughout the country just to raise more awareness. And this week we're shouting out Weave in Sacramento, California. They are the primary provider of crisis intervention services for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault in Sacramento County. You can find out more details all about their organization in the episode description. Also, you can still purchase the live podcast episode that we did in Atlanta, Georgia on May 13th, I think it was. It was Mother's Day weekend and it was so fun. We had the best time. It was me and my coworker, Amber, who came on and talked about the time that she got catfished for 8 years. It is honestly surprisingly relatable. And we had so much fun because obviously not only did she get to share the story of how she met this person, why she fell for all the catfishiness, but also we had people ask questions at the end. And let me tell you, like, they can be a lot more bold than I am. I remember Katie, who's also somebody that works with us, stood up and I'm sure she'd had a drink or two, but she was like, why didn't you just cheat? Like, you're with this woman for 8 years. You never once slept together and you didn't think to cheat. I died. It was so, so funny. Highly recommend checking out the episode. It's available for purchase right now. Again, that's linked in the episode description. It's like $2. I know I don't normally like charge for things, but you know, it was a live event and people paid to go. So I guess it would be kind of weird for me to just post it for free. So anyway, into this week's submission. So this one is coming from somebody who had followed somebody on social media for a while. It's one of those types of submissions. And it says, hey, Abby, I know this girl and we were never close, but somehow she let me follow her Instagram account. So she started dating this older guy and they dated for, I think, like 7 or 8 years. They were a picture perfect couple, lived together, had dogs, everything. So then fast forward, she starts posting about how could he cheat on me with a woman and she's married? How could he do this to her? And, you know, we were talking about getting married. Through the time that they had been broken up, they were still in contact where he would tell her that he still loves her. And I guess she's sharing this on her social media and all that hard breakup stuff. So then a few months later, she actually ends up posting her exes and the girl or the woman that he cheated on her with their proposal photo. So there's obviously a lot to unpack here. Can you imagine being with somebody for a decade and then all of a sudden they get with somebody else and propose like immediately? The math is not mathing. I would be furious. I would have a kind of rage that would have me on like one of those snap shows, you know, where women like do heinous crimes. I'm not saying I would do a heinous crime, but would it take me to a place mentally where I could see myself getting there? Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's see if this woman has committed any heinous crimes since then, because if she hasn't, she's better than me when we break down this week's breakup.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
So I met him when we were still in high school. And we never were in the same grade, but we would cross paths occasionally. And then after he graduated was when we started to get a little closer. I was still in high school myself. And initially what drew him to me was, I think I've always had a thing for the underdog. And I saw a lot in him where I saw this potential for growth. And I saw this kind of ability that I thought he had to be a bigger version of himself. And so I kind of felt this need to kind of nurture him and be there for him. And I wanted to see him become that best version of himself. And I think that that brokenness almost was initially drew me to him, but that is also inevitably what brought it to an end. So I think that for me was kind of a double-edged sword.
So how long did you guys date total? And what was the first thing, and at what point in the relationship did you start to feel that this was going to be the end of things?
So we were together for 8 years. And honestly, there was a lot of red flags early on that I sort of overlooked. And I sort of made excuses for him in my head because I didn't want him to feel like I was judging him for his past. I wanted to kind of be there to help him through it, as opposed to kind of using it as an excuse to leave. But inevitably, I think that I should have paid more attention because it led me down a path where I strayed so far from myself, really, because I was so enthralled with this catering to him and helping him and making excuses for him. I didn't really notice how much I was straying from me. And then it down the road, things just didn't get better. They got worse. There was a lot of infidelity on his part. There was some dabbling in substance abuse issues that I overlooked as well. I think that a person can't be fixed unless they're willing to want to do it for themselves. And he just never got there.
So 8 years into the relationship, you're looking back on the relationship and seeing a lot of red flags. But in terms of like leading to the actual breakup, was there something that happened that led to you starting to realize that this was actually not just like red flags, it was actually things happening in your relationship?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I started noticing things like women in his phone, whether it be via Snapchat or on Facebook. And then even overlooking those things, I kind of got into this state of delusion where I was like, OK, well, even if it's happening, I'm just going to turn a blind eye to it and I'm going to ignore it. But that didn't turn out so well because there ended up being a specific person that, you know, kept representing themselves on his Facebook. I was trying to ask him who this person was. He said, of course, that he didn't know her, which inevitably led to him cheating on me, leaving the state with this woman, which inevitably led to the end of the relationship.
So when you say this person kept popping up in their Facebook, what does that mean?
It was simple things. It was really just liking the pictures that he posted, little tiny comments here and there. But it was more of an intuitive feeling that I got that sat with me and I said, this isn't right. I knew in my heart after all of the lead up to what was going on, there was a lot of little signs that he was showing, like just not coming home and kind of staying out more, being very distant. And I just felt in my heart that this was going to be something that was bigger than anything that we had gone through. And it was. It turned out to be the end all be all of everything.
Did you confront him about this? Like, what led to this actual breakup?
I tried to confront him initially when he was talking to her on Facebook. That eventually led to me catching him getting picked up by her. He would claim that she was an Uber driver. That was a pretty interesting situation. One day I came home, we were supposed to go out. I was like, what are you doing? He was like, well, I'm not going. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go do my thing. You know, I'll see you when I get back. I was like, okay, my hands are tied. I'm going to just let you do your thing. And by the grace of the universe or whatever you want to call it, I actually had to go down the street to pick something up at the store before I had headed to where we were supposed to go together. And I was like, I had this turn on the street where I was like, I can either make a left or a right. And I ended up making a right. And when I went past the grocery store parking lot, there they were. And he was getting in her car. And I pulled up in the parking lot and I was shocked. I recognized her from her pictures on Facebook. I opened the car door. We made eye contact for a split second. And I think in that moment, he knew that the stick was up. And without a word, he got in the car and he drove off with her. And that was the moment that it really, truly hit me that this was going to become something that I was irreparable, that was not going to be able to be fixed. He proceeded to call me after he got in the car with her. And that's when he started saying, well, what's wrong with you? You're crazy. You know, this is just an Uber driver. I was just, you know, getting picked up so that I could go to this place and whatever the case may be. And that was that. After a week went by, he tried to say the same story. I said, you know, you could just be honest. It's so blatantly obvious that this is a situation where you're cheating on me. He refused to admit it. And a week later, he said that he was going out of town to visit his family and he took off with her to another state. Turns out I started doing a little digging myself and this woman was married, still is, you know, going through separation now. It's turned into a big old hot mess and it was definitely messy. It was one of the hardest things that I've ever gone through in my life, honestly, to have loved a person that deeply and had that type of betrayal happen to me. But looking back on it now, it's been about a year since that happened. And I couldn't be more grateful that it happened in a way that was so dramatic because I learned through extremes. It's just kind of how I am as a person. And I had already overlooked so much. I think that if it hadn't ended that way, it wouldn't have pushed me to become a better version of myself for it.
You must have felt really, really confident to know, based off of just likes and comments, that this woman was up to something with your mans. What were like some of those comments or things that you saw that made you feel like something was up?
You know, it's interesting because it wasn't even necessarily anything that would stand out like a big red flag. It was subtle things of like, okay, then she follows him. Then she's heart reacting everything he posts. But really what triggered me was that I friend requested her and she blocked me immediately. And I was like, okay, this is a little funky. So that's why I asked him. I said, hey, you know, this woman on your Facebook, she blocked me. What is the dealio with that? And he was like, well, I don't know. I don't know her. So I don't know what you're saying. Right after I asked him, she unblocked me right after we had that conversation and messaged me and said, hey, can I help you with something? And of course, so I kind of just was being casual. I was like, hey, you know, I'm just marketing. I go and I friend request people all the time. So, you know, you are friends with my boyfriend on Facebook and I just wanted to extend my hand and support my business and networking. And she was like, oh, I've seen your work. You're so talented. You're amazing. I don't know if you do fine line tattoos, but that's something that I'd really be interested in. I just want you to know, by the way, that I've only messaged your boyfriend over, you know, some work that I wanted done from him and you've got nothing to worry about. I'm in a very committed relationship and I don't want to overstep. I could totally unfriend him if if it bothers you, the whole nine yards. And I was like, hey, whoa, bestie, I didn't even ask you for any of this information.
This is a lot of information that you're just volunteering for no reason.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And as I dug a little bit deeper, I come to find through, you know, mutual friends and things of that nature that this woman has a tendency to scam and to manipulate and to do this quite frequently with other men while she was in this committed relationship. So it just was unfortunate to see him go down that path and choose that for himself, because now the life that he has built for himself, as a comparison to all of the things that I've been freed up with and been able to accomplish, it's sad for him. I don't miss him the same way that I did. I don't wish that I was in her shoes, and I don't wish for another chance. I just feel sorry for him, and I feel grateful for being able to move forward from it.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot, where if people didn't have a hard breakup, like there wasn't cheating, they're like, I wish he had just done something terrible so that I could take all this grief from the relationship and turn it into hate. So
absolutely,
it makes total sense to me that this extreme situation would help you to be able to move on from it. Like, oh, this is so black and white. Like, I obviously don't want to be with someone that's going to do that for me or do that to me. But I can also understand that there was probably a part of you that was still grieving the person that you knew from the past 7.5 years of the relationship. So what was that like moving on and coming to terms with the person that you knew or thought that you knew and who they became after the relationship ended?
I think it was a lot like grieving a death. I would compare it to losing a family member through something that you know that they just can't come back from. It truly felt like he died, and I had to proceed that way because the person that I knew was not the person that he was anymore. And the person that he was becoming was not somebody that I was able to recognize. And that was an extremely difficult thing, mourning somebody that is still breathing. Because for me, I felt like I had drained so much time and so much energy into trying to make this person a good version of themselves, to see the good in him, that I had no choice now but to process and to reflect and to move forward. And, you know, there was this kind of like survivor's guilt I almost felt, because I was like, wow, it is so crazy that everything in my life is moving forward. I'm realizing now that my mental health is better without you. I'm realizing now that my physical health is better without you. I'm realizing that my family dynamic is improving without you. And all of these things came simultaneously with the breakup. Like, the friends that were truly there for me revealed themselves. The people that were not, that I knew were just there to kind of sit in on the drama of it all, or to be there for me temporarily to get all the tea, those people fell away as well. So I was revealing this new version of myself that was so awesome and so great. But then there was this deep sense of, damn, you did not get to experience this with me. You truly did not get to experience any good aspects that I'm going to get now, or reap any of those rewards. And now everything that you have built on my shoulders has been taken from you. And it's sad for him. Like I said, it's definitely something that I still, you know, care for his well-being. I still hope that he's safe wherever he is, but I couldn't be more grateful for all of the blessings that I have had. And also just the way that I've been able to be there for other women too, because to tell you the truth, like, there were days that I thought that I wasn't going to be able to move forward. I thought that this was the end all be all of my life. I truly believed that I was so attached to this person that I wasn't going to be able to move forward. I wasn't going to be able to love again. I was destroyed. I had destroyed myself. But that wasn't the case at all. And so, you know, to anybody that's going through a situation similar to mine that feels like there's no way forward, I'm living proof that so much good can happen from getting rid of the things that no longer serve you and moving forward in that way. It was a really, really difficult journey, but I wouldn't trade the life that I have now for anything, no matter how difficult that was.
On the days where you didn't think you were going to be able to get past this and move forward, what kept you hanging on and moving forward? Like, what encouraged you to become this better version of yourself?
I allowed myself to process the pain. I didn't run from it and I didn't try to shove it in a box. I didn't necessarily do the regular thing where you go out and you kind of go and party or do all of that. I really sat with myself and allowed myself to cry and allowed myself to feel and allowed myself to process and mourn. And I think that really helped, as well as my support system. Like, I felt like I was surrounded in like a huge hug of like this beautiful support system that kind of came out of the woodwork and said to me, like, we're not going to let you drown. And that really showed me how much of an impact that I had made on the people that were around me that I was good to. And it made me realize that it wasn't me. Now, there's absolutely things that I would have done differently. I mean, I had to hold myself accountable for the things that I could have done differently in the relationship too. But the good energy that I had around me at the time and the support system that I had, while he really didn't have much of one, kind of reminded me that I had maintained being a good person, which kind of helped me propel forward. Also, my art is a huge thing. And my clients and my people that are around me at work and the environment that I was in helped me so much. Like, I mean, like, the people that I work with literally have picked me up off the floor of that tattoo studio when I was on my knees crying and said, we're not going to let you fall. Mm-hmm. And it was just a beautiful thing to be able to have that, you know, and have that support, but also just getting back to myself and sitting alone with myself and realizing that the only thing I really needed to be whole was me.
What have you learned about yourself from this healing process?
I feel like a completely different person than I was before I went through this. I've learned so much about myself. I learned that I was stronger than I ever thought that I could be. I started getting back to my creativity. You know, I've always been an artist, but I think that a lot of pieces of myself were lost within that relationship because I wasn't able to be me. I realized that, you know, one of the things that he always used to say to me was, you know, you're so like messy, or you're lazy, or you're this or you're that. Of course, I don't want to clean the house when I don't have a supportive partner. Of course, I don't want to laugh and smile and pretend that I'm happy with everything that you're saying when there's this underlying tone of, what kind of day am I going to have? Am I going to have a good day? Am I going to have a bad day? So really, it was just me coming back to myself and remembering who I was as a person. I'm so much more openly creative than I was before. I've been able to open my heart to new relationships and new experiences and get back to, I make music as well. I started making music again. I started picking up new hobbies, new things. I was able to be free to go places that I wanted to go. It felt so nice. You know, if my friend's like, hey, I want to go to this concert, I'm like, I don't have to worry about anybody being mad at me for living and experiencing. I've done a lot of cool things. I've been able to travel to a lot of guest spots in different states. I went to New Orleans for the first time. I went back up to visit my family up north for the first time in a very long time. So it's been a super cool healing journey to come back to me and find that those pieces of me again.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are going to find a lot of hope in the person that you are, because I think when you're in the thick of it, like, you feel like, oh my God, this is just going to be how it is forever. Like, I'm going to be constantly grieving this person and finding who I am again. But you're a perfect example of how an experience that really sucks is actually, I don't want to say the best thing for you, but you really come out of it on the other side so much stronger for it. So if you could tell anything to someone who's sitting in that mess right now, where they feel like, oh my God, like, this is just never going to end, like, this is just going to suck forever, what is a piece of encouragement you could give them to get through this?
If I could say anything, I would say, I promise you it gets better. I don't just guess that it will get better. And I don't, you know, I know that it feels like there's no way forward, but there is always a light at the end of that dark tunnel. And the things that you're going to experience getting back to yourself, and the things that you're going to learn, and the life that you're going to experience by getting rid of the things that don't serve you and choosing you, is going to be more beautiful than you will ever imagine. Because when I go through difficult things, I always try to say to myself, not why is this happening to me or woe is me, but what is this trying to teach me? Because I think that experiences happen to us based on what we need to learn and how we need to grow. And as difficult as those experiences are, it's always the most difficult experiences that I've ever gone through in life that have taught me the most and gotten me to the point that I want to be. So I know it's cliche, but I do believe that everything happens as it should and for a reason. and to always remember that loving yourself is what's going to attract the right person into your life. You can't align with a high vibrational person if you yourself are not vibrating high. And I think that you making sure that you're taking care of yourself, all that love that you gave them, all of those things that you gave them, whether it be material, whether it be emotional, give that back to yourself tenfold, more so than you could have even fathomed that you could love yourself. And by doing that, you're going to realize a version of yourself that you're going to fall in love with. And that's what's going to make someone else that is worthy of you fall in love with you.
Tune in on Thursday. We're going to have another breakdown bonus episode where we talk about women's intuition, because it's strong, right? Like, if you see somebody on social media liking your boyfriend's stuff, you're not crazy if you think something's going on. And I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I got here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.